Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Greetings, Constant listeners. It's Jen Bad Gunky Adams. What you're about to hear is a clip from our exclusive Patreon episode in which the losers recap and review episodes 5 and 6 of Apple TV's Lisey Story, specifically The Good Brother and Now You Must Be Still. How do you hear the full thing? Become a librarian over to our Patreon. You can find a link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/thebarons. Hope to see you there over long days and pleasant nights.
This is our third episode recapping the show. We've been doing it in 2-episode installments, as I'm sure you know if you're on episodes five and six. So that's our thing today. We're going to talk about episodes 5 and 6. 5 aired last week. 6 aired just last night. And we're here to talk about it. So there's a lot to break down here. But before we get going, let's go around and introduce our panel. Mike, say hello.
Hello. This is Michael. Rotten Tomatoes gives Lisey's Story 55% based on 64 reviews with an average rating of 5.95 out of 10 on... That's crazy. Rothman. I actually had Wikipedia open, and I was going to try to find a really random name to put for my middle nickname. And the only I had it scanned over reception for by accident.
Couldn't you just done Michael Pitt Rothman?
Yeah, we're going to take that over again. Yeah, Michael, hey.
Let's run it back.
All right. Hey, this is Michael Last Days Pitt Rothman. Not bad. Very excited to come back and talk Lisey's Story. I feel like it's a story that we all know, and it's a story that I continue to keep talking about.
Well, yeah, we definitely all know it by this point. We've been spending a lot of time in Booyah Moon, which I know is a favorite place of another one of our hosts. Jen, say hello.
Hey, this is Jen Michael Pitt Adams.
Very good.
Yes, topical. Reporting live from Booyah Moon. So, yes, I am very, very familiar with Lisey's Story at this point.
Well, we're about to get even more familiar thanks to our next panelist. Say hello.
Well, this is Jennifer Justin Lee Gerber. I'm happy to be back talking all things Booyah, Bad Gunky, Baby Love, and other lovely phrases that the Landons like to say to each other.
Oh, yeah. They love those phrases.
I'm also looking forward to figuring out, because, again, I read this book so long ago that I honestly don't remember a lot of what happened in the book. So hopefully we can, or you three can explain to me what is different so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you can remember.
It's a lot of condensing, I feel like, is a lot of what's happening here. There's a lot of characters who are merged. But I feel like the story is relatively, beholden to it. And also, I think the big thing is it captures the structure, because the structure of the book can be tough to follow. There's a lot of timeline jumping, just like this, and that kind of elliptical storytelling, which can be really confusing when you're watching it. So I think that's why a recap episode like this is very helpful. So we're going to break that all down. But I do want to touch back on something you said, Mike. You brought up the Rotten Tomatoes score. And I'm surprised it's that low.
I am too.
Because I do remember it wasn't getting like amazing reviews when it came out. And but I have to say, aside from like Ted Lasso, I feel like this is the most, at least on my social media circles, the most I've seen anybody talk about an Apple TV show.
What's amazing is it's at 48 on Metacritic, which is even worse than that.
Wow. I wonder what it is. Because
that's so staggering.
Because I see a lot of people on my timeline say that like they love this. And and so I don't know. I think there is something a little bit alienating about the structure and the sort of like the theatrics of it, you know, because I think the score, this is something we've talked about, is so intrusive. Not to say in a bad way. It's just I think that there's almost this operatic quality to it that pairs with Julianne Moore, you know, being kind of one of the greatest yellers in film and television history. I think that this show can be in some ways abrasive, I think, for people.
I think that's a good word.
Yeah, the book is similar in that regard. And it's dealing with such intense themes. I mean, we're dealing with cutting and mental illness in very unvarnished ways. I think especially in these two episodes, it's a theme we can discuss. I think these are the two episodes where they're really more so than the book, doing a big job of linking the lore and the mythology with mental illness and like the idea of like why people hurt themselves or cut themselves and the idea of disassociating from life. Those are things that are sort of buried within the lore of Lisi's story. And here they're sort of made explicit in the realm of mental health. And I think that that is a running theme I saw throughout these two episodes that I think is in the book, but it's laid out more explicitly here. Would you guys say you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it can be a very punishing watch. You know, and I think recent criticism, not just of this, but just of pop art in general, is whether or not something's got a lot of humor in it. And really, you can count maybe on one hand, especially in episode six, the amount of humor that can be found in the show. So
I know,
you know,
it's like thank you, Jennifer.
That's
Jason
a criticism
Lane.
Against it, I get the criticisms, but I'm overall still enjoying the show.
Yeah, me too.
And honestly, like the only time you really do get any humor, it's like gallows humor, you know.
Oh yeah.
So it is a very dour experience. But the thing is that, I mean, that's what Apple TV Plus is going for. You know, like with the exception of like, I mean, even Ted Lasso has some really hard dramatic beats on it. So I think what happens is that this is actually going to work, I think, for them in the long run. Because like, look, Stephen King's a brand. It's an IP. They have it in their inventory forever. This is the adaptation of this book. So it's always going to be tied to the Apple TV Plus library. So I think like right now, initially, I think you're right, Justin. I think that the abrasive television isn't exactly what people are looking out for. I mean, I think a lot of people are really, I think that's one of the reasons why reality television is thriving so much right now is because we're a culture that really wants to keep moving, especially considering we were quarantined for so long. And I don't think this show is arriving at a great time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like when you really think about like the themes and the fact that it technically is a coarse chamber drama, like it's a very sequestered, almost claustrophobic narrative when you think about it, especially when you even in every beat. I mean, with the exception of maybe Booyah Moon, which even that has a claustrophobic notion and quality to it. It's kind of like the antithesis of what people would want to watch right now. You know,
well, and it's very wintry too. Like the sweaters, you know, it just has this really wintry feel. And I wonder if this is when it was supposed to drop or if things got like shuffled around or something, you know. And it's funny, like, I feel like this is a really all or nothing show because all the things that y'all were talking about are the reasons that I love it and I'm really into it. And I love the way, like, I've got a lot of thoughts about how it makes mental illness visible, you know, which is something I think a lot of shows struggle with. But it reminds me, and I can't remember if we've talked about this before, but like, it reminds me of 30 Rock. Like, people that say they don't like 30 Rock, I'm like, well, are you second screening it? Are you paying attention? And I don't want to say that condescendingly, but I feel like if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss something and you have no clue what's going on. You know,
when you said 30 Rock, I was just like, where's she going with this?
Oh, yeah.
Well, 30 Rock did a great job handling mental illness.
Yeah,
they did. Yeah.
But no, I agree. I really do think that it's something you have to commit yourself to. And that isn't, and I think if anything right now, we want shows that we don't have to, like, I don't know, give ourselves over to at this point. I think, I think, and I don't know, I think that that's very true. And I will say, I really am enjoying this show. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I find it enriching afterwards. Like, it's a fun show to talk about. It's a fun show to think about. And it's something where I also really feel like it's a really strong vision that's executed with a lot of grace and a lot of love. Like, I feel like Pablo Larraín really loves this story, and I feel like the composers do and the actors do, because there is this like really fierce commitment that I think can also be abrasive. And I mean, there's a lot of, but the thing is, all of that is clouded in a lot of anguish and like like episode five to me was a really punishing episode. We'll talk more about it, but I mean, this is an episode where you've got children just being fucking like physically mangled and destroyed, and it's like and beaten and cut, and it's a really hard thing to watch. And like, and like all that whole the farm, the Landon farm where a lot of episode five takes place, it's a horrible place to spend time.
It is. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.